Well, as we look again at Psalm 10 and we draw to a close our studies at Psalm 10, we find ourselves in the final verse 18. It's worth remembering how David, under inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, yet in his personal circumstance, he asked the question early on, why? Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? And yet he has this great confidence when he draws to a close. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their hearts. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. This is the theme of the psalmist continually. He honestly cries out to God, and then he is brought to that confidence of his God as well, to see that indeed God will not forsake his people. He will never leave nor forsake his people in any circumstance. And the title of the message this evening here, I could have no other title but this: Fully Vindicated. Although David speaks specifically of God's people, when God's people are vindicated, God is vindicated as well. Fully vindicated. He says in verse 18, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. Now the previous verse 17 that we looked at, we saw that God not only hears the cries of the humble, he not only hears the cries of his elect people, but he prepares our hearts to pray those prayers. He directs us, and so as he directs those prayers are answered. Oh, yes and amen. And as we have seen, he has heard the voice, he has heard the supplication, he has heard the prayer of the righteous. And so we ask, what is the desire of the godly? What is the true desire of the godly who are in Christ Jesus? What is the desire of the godly, of God's elect, made righteous in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it is, as David declares here, that God would break the arm of the wicked, verse 15. Would break the strength of the wicked. Would break the arm of the wicked. To disarm them of all their strength, all their supposed strength, with which they come against God's people. Verse 15 indeed declares that it is the wickedness of man that causes them to come against God's people with that supposed strong arm. And as we were looking at in part this morning, we reminded ourselves that we have no strength of ourselves as believers. We have no power of ourselves, but in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of God the Holy Spirit, in trusting in his promises, we have no strength but that. We can do nothing of ourselves. And so now as David closes this psalm, we see what God will do now. What God will do as he causes his ear to hear. For David says, you will cause your ear to hear. We saw last time also how the psalmist says in Psalm 34 that his ear is ever open to the cry of the righteous, ever open to the cry. There's not a time when his ear is not open to the cries of his people. And so firstly, there is coming a day when God Almighty will avenge. He will avenge all the wrongs done against his people. He will avenge. It's interesting how that in unity, in part with this morning's service as well. We were seeing how God is the judge. God is the one. God is the one who pronounces judgment, not us. And God shall avenge. God shall avenge all the wrongs done against his elect people, and such as are bereaved through the persecution, against his people. He will judge. He will judge. In fact, all will be caused to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, to receive the things done in the body. And he will separate. He will separate the sheep from the goats. Everyone will appear before that great white throne of judgment. And everyone must indeed answer for those things written in those books. He will judge in favour. In favour of. He will vindicate and avenge on behalf of his own special people. You see, when we read here to the King James says to judge, but that doesn't do justice, no pun intended, as the Church Bible says justice here, but it does do no justice to the original, because the Lord is not so much judging as in judgment unto condemnation. He shall judge his people. He shall do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed. But it is a vindication of his people. It is an avenging of his people. It is a speaking out in favour of his people. The Church of Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ. Throughout all ages. We seem to think, we often think that this just speaks of us. But these words speak of the Church of Jesus Christ throughout all ages. Throughout all ages. To the time when the Lord shall come again. Throughout all ages has suffered at the hands of the men of the earth. They are called the seed of the devil. They're called the seed of the devil. This is promised that there would indeed, there would be an enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the devil. This is prophesied in Genesis 3. And Jesus calls those who are against him and his people children of their father, the devil. And so they are the people of the earth, and they have always, always opposed God's people. And we remind ourselves again and again and again, do not be surprised when the world comes against us, when the world opposes us, when the world will not have Christ, will not have the gospel, and indeed will not tolerate us. Yes, they will pacify us for their own ends, but they will never have Christ rule over them. They are opposed to Christ. Jesus taught that. And as Jesus promised these certain words, he did not flower it up like these health, wealth and prosperity gospels try to do today. He said, in the world you will have tribulation. In the world you will have tribulation. And he also tells us that where that tribulation comes from. It comes from the world. It hated me before you. And so it will hate you also. But he has also promised, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Oh, be of good cheer, he says. Be of good cheer. Why be of good cheer? Because we're more than conquerors in him. We're more than conquerors in him who loved us and gave himself for us. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He has overcome the world. And he has indeed, he has led all captivity captive. He has He has overcome all principalities and power, as he did bear our sins in his own body on the tree. The Lord Jesus, the Redeemer of his own special people, is on his throne now. He always has been on his throne. But we read particularly the man Christ Jesus. This man Christ Jesus, the God-man, the perfect man who has overcome for us. He is seated on high now. He is seated on high at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And it is wonderful because we shall see, as we look at the next psalm, we will see why God's people should not fret. Verse 4, just a little taster. Psalm 11, verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord is enthroned on high. He rules. He rules over everything. And Hebrews 10 verses 12 and 13 tells us these words. But this man, this Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand. Sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, and don't forget this part, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. He is going to come to judge. He is going to come to avenge. He is going to come to vindicate his people. For in vindicating his people, he vindicates his own name. God is not mocked. All the enemies, every single one of them, all the enemies of God's people, whether they be within or without the church, as we've been looking at in 2 Peter, those who came out from among us, but they were not of us, those false teachers that came and sought to bring havoc, and those of other religions, and those of no religion, all who are of the world, who are opposing Christ and his gospel, they will be dealt with. They will be dealt with. Christ will vindicate his name and his people. And so he shall vindicate his people when he judges the nations who forget God, as Psalm 9 tells us. And secondly, the Lord calls us who are the people of God to pray and intercede on behalf of lost, chosen sinners. Because we do not know who they are. We do not know who they are. Pray to the Father. Pray to the Father. The Lord Jesus taught us. For those sheep of whom Jesus said, And other sheep I have. Not other sheep I will have. He says, other sheep I have. And that is the wonderful truth of the gospel of God's sovereign grace. Other sheep Jesus has already. He has them. They've been given to him. All that the Father has given unto me, he says, will come unto me. They're already given unto him. They're already his possession. He's already redeemed them at the cross. They are yet to be called. They are yet to be born anew. But yet, they are his. And he says, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. I must bring. He doesn't say to his people, you must bring. He doesn't say, you must bring them. I must bring. Because we cannot bring them. We can only proclaim Christ. It is him that brings them. They hear his voice, he says. Not our voice. They hear not the voice of strangers. They hear my voice, he says. Them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. They shall hear my voice. And there will be one fold and one shepherd. And so the people of God, not only cry out and offer up their supplications for their own circumstances and their own in their own sufferings, but we are to cry out to God for those who will know this Saviour to do them justice, to vindicate them, to be declared not guilty in the sight of God's justice. And as we cry out to him for them, as we cry out to our Saviour for them, taking the gospel out, don't forget, it's also taking the gospel out. We don't just sit and wait for the elect to fall through the roof. But taking the gospel out, he shall call them to know themselves justified before God. That's the promise of the gospel. This is why God's people bear the trials and the persecutions. One of the many reasons why we bear the trials and persecutions of this life. The Apostle Paul, he went through many trials, many hardships, many dangers. And see what he says in 2 Timothy 2:10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. David cries out in his troubles, in his trials, why are you so far away? Why do you hide your face? Why do you stand afar off? Why do you hide in times of trouble? And then he sees that indeed God is not hiding his face from his people, and he will not forget. He will not forget the humble. But he also sees that there are a people who must be called. And he sees that indeed we are to pray as God prepares our hearts. We don't just pray for ourselves, but we pray as he will prepare our hearts, and then he causes his ear to hear. As we saw particularly last time, we pray according to God's will and purpose, and we know therefore God is answering our prayer. The Lord Jesus, the crucified, risen Saviour, stands before the righteousness and the holiness of God the Father to plead the cause, of all for whom he gave himself a ransom at the cross. He pleads for them all. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is the one who is our advocate on high. He is the one who pleads his one sacrifice, which is a sweet smelling savour unto the Father. On the cross, he made that judgment. He made that judgment for his people who were the fatherless. That's what you were if you're in Christ Jesus. You were the fatherless. You were as orphans, as the word implies. You were as orphans. You knew not God as your father. You were not a people. But now God calls you the people of God. By adoption, by that wonderful gift, by virtue of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, adopted. And the spirit of adoption has been given to us, the spirit of Christ, indeed, declaring with our spirits that we are children of God. And so he has made his people, the fatherless, spiritual orphans, bearing our sins and debt, and doing what our flesh, doing what the flesh of any anyone could not perform. Therefore making us righteous in him. Righteous in him as he was made a sin-bearing propitiation. A sin-bearing, sin-covering scapegoat saviour for his people. A mercy seat covering our sins. And as Romans 8, 3 and 4 tells us, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So many people would talk about a God and a Saviour who just sweeps sin under the carpet, who doesn't deal with sin. Oh no, no. The elect of God have been condemned. We have been condemned. But in a substitute. In a substitute. He's borne sin's penalty. In him, the ark of our salvation, we have been condemned in him. We are crucified with Christ. Indeed, God's justice demanded it so, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Yes, God shall do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed. And in his Son he does, and has done. He has on that cross, he has caused justice to be meted out on his Son. Indeed, justice and mercy have met, and they have kissed. Thirdly, the Lord judges for his people as he vindicates his elect, as he draws them in repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus. The oppressed, those afflicted and crushed, surely are also the ones who he makes to know. He makes to know their own spiritual bankruptcy. You must be crushed by your sin. You must be crushed by the conviction of that sin to know anything of the salvation from that sin. To be brought low, to see themselves carrying a heavy burden. A burden of sin and woe that cannot be lifted. If God ever crushes the soul of a man by his Spirit, we have the promise that that one will be made whole in Christ. Because he does not reject the humble. He does not forget the humble. He does not reject the humble and the contrite spirit. As many as the Lord our God so bruises with this guilt of their sin and the convincing and the conviction of the same, he will show the way of salvation also. You see, you hear two extremes in so-called evangelicalism, don't you? You hear some who are so weak, and there is not a holy God. There is no holy God who is angry at sinners all day long. That sin is something treated very flippantly. And then you get the other extreme where people are just hammered and hammered and hammered with woe, and there is no hope. That's not the gospel. For the ones who truly, by God's conviction, are brought low and brought to see that they are carrying such burdens, such heavy burdens of sin, they are told that that burden will be lifted. They are told that the Lord Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, for it is light. He says that the one coming unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He will in no wise cast them out because he is drawing them. As Jesus says about God the Holy Spirit and his moving as he alone moves, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John 16:8. The gospel of righteousness by the grace of Jesus Christ is a savour to both the elect and the reprobate, the Apostle Paul tells us. To those called of God, to those drawn of God, to those loved with an everlasting love by this Saviour God, who therefore with loving kindness are drawn, and to them who the scripture teaches are rejected and left in their sins. The same message is proclaimed, but with two differing outcomes. 2 Corinthians 2:16 says, to the one we are the savour of death, unto death. It's just declaring the impending doom. It's declaring that judgment which is sure to come. And to the other, the savour of life, unto life. Now some are condemned as they hear the word, while we who are called by grace hear that message of sin, of righteousness and judgment, to be that which clears us rather than condemns us. That's the wonder of the gospel. To hear a message, yes, that declares our sin and declares God's perfect righteousness, that we are guilty before God. Guilty because we have no righteousness. And of the judgment that is to come for sin. But it is that which clears us from all guilt before the Almighty. Why is that? It is because the one who is brought to know salvation in Christ Jesus, to know by the moving of God the Holy Spirit, who is born again of the Spirit of God, is therefore granted, not the other way around, by the way. The one who the Spirit of God breathes new life upon is granted the gift of God's grace, faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what gift it is. What a gift it is. Why should I believe? What made it happen so? 'Twas his grace, this much I know. Nothing else. Justified by faith alone. Faith on the finished saving work of Jesus at the cross and his glorious resurrection, who was indeed offered up, who was offered up for our offences and was raised for our justification. We are therefore justified by the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And we receive that justification as the Lord God grants us that faith to cling to this Saviour and to trust only in him. What a message this is. Finally, as we draw to a close our look at this Psalm 10, we see the present sufferings which the Apostle Paul declares in Romans 8:18. He declares, even though he went through such terrible sufferings, he declares of them, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." We see from the words here of the psalmist, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. Persecution, hardship, oppression, opposition is coming to an end soon. It's coming to an end soon. And we say that to our, if we could say that to our brothers and sisters who are suffering those agonies right now around the world, for their encouragement, we pray that we could communicate that to them right now. Stand fast, stand fast. It's coming to an end soon. It's coming to an end soon. That was what drove on those early church fathers when they went gladly, it seemed, to those excruciating, painful deaths that they did. They knew and they trusted in their Saviour that these sufferings were worthwhile to be found present with the Lord, which is far better. Very soon, the almighty righteous judge of all the earth will act. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. He will soon. He will soon. He's heard the cry of David here, because this, he knows, is what his God shall do. He has promised he shall do. He shall act very soon. He shall act to vindicate his elect. Though downtrodden for a season in this world, the man of the earth, the ones who think themselves strong, consider themselves to be wise above the people of God, and God's gospel shall be brought to mutual confusion, shall be brought low by God. As when the Lord of glory was lifted up at the cross, taken, delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, as there on the cross, God brought to nothing all the supposed strength and wisdom of the man of the earth. For it is written, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Even so, when the Saviour comes, he comes soon. He says, "I come soon." We have his promise. He says, "I come quickly." When the Saviour comes to make an end of all things, don't you feel sad when you see part of a younger generation being led astray by such foolish things like Extinction Rebellion and all this rubbish? Trying to save a planet that is destined to die. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. This earth is going to be folded up as a garment soon. It's going to be burnt up. It shall be no more. And yet they are caused to look to the creation rather than the Creator. But when the Saviour comes to make an end of all things, that same gospel of Christ and Him crucified shall bring low all who oppose and contend with His people even now. By that gospel they shall be judged. But if you be found in Christ Jesus, you have the confidence from these precious words. Cling to these precious words. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? He's done justice for you already. He judges for you already before the justice of God. And He shall judge for you when He comes again. Who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God. Who also makes intercession for us. Amen.